Summer on the orbital has reached its peak, and the village, I mean inhabitants' favourite traditional ways of celebrating. The medium pad has had a pressure dome built over it, and inside a full-scale henge has been constructed out of shipping containers. Obviously, this means that Red Planet taxi services will have nowhere to park, but of course we all have to make sacrifices, which is why we need container henge in the first place. Inside, locals are wearing floaty gowns, flower garlands, suns, moons, and even the occasional wizard's staff can be seen. No pink spandex with fruit hats in sight, I note. They wouldn't dare. That bridge has been built, crossed, and burnt. There is a lot of greenery on the parade, and the smell of something herbal is everywhere. Eddie Lee, Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, are doing a deal on special suits made from wholly renewable materials and tailored to the individual. They do look a bit twiggy, though. Almost as though they've been woven together, like the furniture in the day room of the Hutton Retirement Home. The sound of quacking echoes along the thoroughfares, and onlookers are treated to display a formation flying by the Momus Bog Spaniel security detail, kitted out with ornithopter-style fairy wings as they head out on patrol. At the allotted time, everyone gathers at the fake Neolithic structure. The chatter dies away and the people of Hutton stand in silence as Proxima Centauri rises behind the stones, well, containers. As one, they let out an admiring ooh. A silhouetted figure steps under the lintel stone, raises their arms and says...
Helps if I take the mute off. Our mics are live.
They had one job to do.
One job.
Seamless.
And a boy to do a man's job.
Good evening. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I have a wizard's staff.
Yeah, you should give that back. I mean, he looks really angry. I'm Wilma Fingerdew, and I've been dancing round the sacred stones.
I'm your Harkness, and I'm wearing flowers in my hair. Well, you know, some of that luminous fungus from the lower decks. Actually, it's starting to make my scalp burn a bit now.
I'm Juan Kerr, and I've been reading A Midsummer Night's Dream. Who wants to see my bottom?
You'll get it. You'll get the pan. Speaking of pans, I'm Norma Snuckers, and I'm learning to play the pipes.
As long as it's not the bagpipes. I'm Sandy Crevice, and I've made a lovely pot of tea with my mushrooms. That desk's a very pretty shade of grey, isn't it?
Right, let's get these headlines done, or it'll be the winter solstice. Colonia Clone Chaos as Bad Apple appears amongst the Hankies.
Rampage on the Rampage.
Too Hot, Too Messy, Week 46 Update.
Peanut Butter Wrestling? Don't mind if they do.
Hot or not, Thargoids use heat vision.
Atrus may or may not be back.
Systems sit stock still. It's the BGS.
First, tonight, a report from Colonia, where the eccentric self-styled monarch King Hanky and his notorious Hutton Fastbus have become entangled in a clone conundrum that has left local authorities perplexed. it appears that King Hanky, known for his fondness for the Clonomat, has found himself in a digital doppelganger dilemma. Unidentified perpetrators have successfully cloned his digital identity, throwing Fort Mug into a state of bewilderment. This debacle has left citizens scratching their heads, pondering which Hanky is the genuine article. With an abundance of clones floating about, Colonia was already a maze of identical regal figures. Picture the sight of royal duplicates engaging in juggling competitions or dispensing impromptu dance lessons. It's a circus of cloning chaos. However, that's just a normal day over in Colonia, punctuated by the reduction in the number of clones by one, as briefly one departs for the bubble, shortly before another, or maybe even the same one, returns from that direction. With the realization that despite the number of clones being in flux, sometimes as some of them have the flux, authorities find themselves grappling with the perplexing task of identifying the true king amongst clones. It was first noticed by what we assume is the original Hanky clone when he logged into Galbook and realized that he'd spent the last 4 hours sending out spam. Spam with everything. You wouldn't believe what this person did with spam. One spam trick a day will shave years off your life. Man outraged, as spam taken off the menu. That sort of thing. All linking to dubious messages. Then there were the group invitations, pizzas ordered in his name for delivery by Beluga from the bubble. That attracts a million credit tip. Holographic messages promoting dubious enhancements like laser beam eyes or hyper-intelligent space cabbages. And much more. After receiving the report of the hack, law enforcement agencies are conducting rigorous investigations, attempting to untangle the web of Hanky impersonators. Imagine the sight of handcuffs repeatedly clamping down on clones, only to realise they've apprehended an entire clone colony. It's a farcical game of cat and mouse. The consequences of this clonic calamity extend beyond mere amusement. Critical systems throughout Colonia have fallen prey to the confusion, with pilots finding themselves locked out of starports due to unreliable access codes. The once precise traffic control systems, that's a joke, resemble a cosmic dance floor, with ships twirling and spinning in perplexing patterns. So, as the mischief unfolds, and most of the Hanky clones are attempting to prove they're not the illegally cloned one, the citizens of Colonia find themselves caught in limbo. Who amongst the clones is the genuine Hanky? When will the chaos subside and order be restored to Fort Mug? And, dare we ask, will Colonia ever be rid of those pesky spam transmissions? These questions hang in the cosmic ether, shrouded in Hanky hijinks. He has, however, changed all of his passwords and flushed as much spam as he can out of the airlock.
Commander Rampage, former Hot Boss, Trucker at Large around the universe, is this weekend holding a rather raucous, rowdy, rambunctious, rollicking and revelrous gathering of fellow commanders to celebrate managing to get through a whole year as Hutton Ninja without being attacked by a troop of vicious girl guides and return to the infirmary. Commander Deadmeat GF has been allowed off the naughty step. Flossie has been hired as head of security, complete with freshly forged combat pants for any miscreants or Deadmeat. Basically the same thing. Ma and Pa Barker have put away the stabby things and donned their finest metal garb, though not a suit of armour, it's a more faded black and covered in things like demon skulls. Commander Vantian is being let out of his cave and there are rumours that, being midsummer, Alvin has chosen a nice, but freshly rolled in garden weeds ensemble, in honour of the occasion. There was a minor hiccup when the Purple Python, the shady lady, designated travel for a number of guests had an unexpected percussive interaction with an Agni Dome and has had to replace the ancient ship with a shiny new one. This time something entirely more imperial and comfortable and with super cruise assist and ship to scenery avoidance radar. He hasn't had time yet to find enough purple paint to make it look just right, but with only 60,000 light years on the clock, it's a damn sight more reliable than the previous incarnation of the Tigger's broom that is the Shady Lady. There are rumours that there will be protests held outside the gathering from members of the No Fruit on Pizzas Brigade, and a complimentary process from the Save Our Anchovies Society, who feel that anchovies exist for something other than being put in a nice Neapolitan. We aren't sure how old Rampage is, as though a combination of anti-agiatics, healthy living, and of course, total inability to grow a mighty beard, he still looks like he's only 50. One visitor did offer to chop him in half and count the facelift rings, but it was suggested this might be a little painful, a lot messy, and of course likely to be fatal, so the idea was squashed fairly quickly. This note to Flossie, you might want to search visitors for any sharp implements, just in case. We tried carbon dating him and the machine just laughed. We will be reporting next week on the shenanigans from the impromptu hunting gathering, but wish him well and absolutely promise that the surprise that will be jumping out of the cake will be neither a troop of well-armed girl guides nor dead meat in a thong.
After 46 weeks, or almost 11 long months, Too Hot Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver a Hutton mug and Centauri Megagin to all the stations in the galaxy, has recorded over 80,000 deliveries. With our original assumption of 400,000 odd stations and settlements in Odyssey, that marks roughly the 20% mark in the event. Weekly numbers were down marginally last week, and the four-weekly average is hovering around the 1,200 deliveries a week. No new commanders joined this week, leaving 291 spread across 95 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent, with 93 commanders, who have delivered almost 43,000 mugs. The Buckyball Racing Club are still in second place with over 4,800. The Winged Hussars are holding third with over 3,100. The Paladins are in fourth with over 1,900. Border Reaver has single-handedly taken the Order of 12 into fifth, pushing the Burr Pit into sixth, the Anti-Xeno Initiative behind them in seventh. The Soteria Accord are 8th and the Undead are 9th. Elite Dangerous NZ has just broken the 1,000 mark, increasing membership of the 1,000 Club to 10 squadrons. Commander Chicks, the one with no life beyond mugging, is still leading the deliveries table with almost 11,600 delivered. Some say that he's probably taken full advantage of the recent expansion state with its associated increased gin production to refill his fleet carrier. Waller 81 is second with almost 9,700 ahead of Nemb, in third with over 6,200 deliveries. Sheer Blackwood is in fourth place with over 4,700, ahead of Infinite Dreamer in fifth with 2,900. Talkie Mouse moved into 6th place ahead of LDSK in 7th. Border Reaver's push has taken him into a clear 8th place ahead of Reese Lang in 9th. Last week's mug winner, Sinister Hedgehog, concludes the top 10. The Thousands Club still has 13 members, and of course we know all this because it is tracked live in the Too Hot Too Messy event page in the Hutton Helper. Additionally, there is a chance to win a real-world, dishwasher-unsafe, self-cleaning, so that you don't have to, Hutton mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the weekly Thursday to Thursday period will be entered into next week's draw to win a real Hutton mug. Unless, of course, you already have one. 45 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. As mentioned, last week's winner was Sinister Hedgehog, so keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you'd delivered 10 mugs and gin in every week since the start 11 months ago, you'd have racked up at least 460 deliveries, and only 31 or 1 in 9 of signed up commanders have managed this. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden of the next 4 years? In order to join the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, and then your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Antares' organic, non-GMO, soya-fed, local Astro replicant hamsters, which not be able to pass the Voigtkampf test, but by using their set of very special skills, they'll hunt you down and they will find you.
We're used to odd goings-on in the presidential palace over in the Federation, but Galtwit was stunned into silence for a few minutes this week after President Hudson suggested that he'd win a cage fight against Zachary Rackham. To which Rackham, never one to back down from a challenge, posted the cryptic reply, "Jelly or baked beans." Whilst Hudson's press officer immediately jumped in to say that Hudson's assertion that he would win wasn't a challenge, just a statement of fact, and of course the federal president would never stoop so low as to actually put himself in danger, Hudson appeared to have other ideas. "How about peanut butter?" he replied. "Still gonna kick your ass." "It's on. Name a time and place. Winner takes the presidency," replied Rackham, who, as far as we can tell, spends most of his time when he's not inventing things that nobody knew they didn't need but now all want, exercising and training in a number of rather deadly looking martial arts. Hudson, meanwhile, likes his pudding, and has people for that sort of thing, and the only thing he lifts are criminal charges against his friends. Oh, and the spoons from Imperial gatherings, which is why he isn't invited anymore. When both candidates were asked whether, given the Thargoid invasion and huge chunks of space to manage, it was entirely appropriate to be getting up to the kinds of things normally shared between courting couples on Love Planet, the inexplicably continually renewed trash TV show, they both replied that if it was good enough for LCU you know full like one, it was good enough for them. Meanwhile, it appears that LCU's antics have been sufficient to bring him out of danger of losing his deposit, and eroded their leads by all of 3%, meaning he's now on 3%. Still no news from Rackham as to what his exciting new technology giveaway will be for the Fairweather friends that indulge in power play, nor have there been any pictures of his face in the media. We look forward to hearing those kinds of details in the presidential debate closer to the actual vote, but for the meantime, we'll just have to make do with the peanut butter wrestling.
It's official. Thargoids think humans are hot. Or more accurately, they hardly even notice us when we're not. Speculation has been rife following forays into the heart of the maelstrom to tickle the toes of Tharg the Mighty's mighty titan, that if you're cold enough, neither the patrolling glaives nor the Titan's own armaments pay you any attention whatsoever. Unless you tickle too hard, then it's likely the resultant guffaw will send you spinning back out to the outer regions of the maelstrom with your tailbone between your ears and a ringing noise in your eyes that's properly confusing. It has adjusted the list of ships that are most effective for exploration of the Titan's backyard to include anything that can run colder than Pluto's moon, Charon, and as such, remain totally unnoticed until you've got a good enough picture to send in for this week's interstellar screenshots, and when you are fetching decal. Of course, chattering teeth and uncontrollable shivering are likely to get you as noticed as being a bit of hot stuff, though without information as to whether Thargoids have ears or just sense the vibrations through the fog of the maelstrom, we don't know. And honestly speaking, is there a difference? But the kinds of ships that can load up as many caustic sinks, heat sinks, and of course icy cold engineered modules are in hot demand. Pun intended. Then of course, there are the miners, bringing their peculiar brand of exobiological sampling to the situation, and in place of a good probinator or some scanners, have taken to just knocking chunks off the Titan and bringing them back to see if any of them bring them any riches or a solution to the war. Estimates by Hutton's Hackswing are that the current rate of erosion, a single Titan might just be able to be whittled down to a nubbin by the time Too Hot Too Messy is finished. Talking of Hackswing...
Good evening, trackers. Nitrous 5060 reporting in with the latest updates on the Thargoid War. My holiday was lovely, by the way. Humanity, however, is holding ground against the Thargoids. Boo. Oh, yay. Boo for Thargoids, yay for us. Only question remains is how long till we see a maelstrom fully pushed back? Gonna need some big bulldozers for that one. It was a busy week for the Galactic Axe, or is it AX, community, repelling the Thargoids in, count them right now, 78 systems, and I'm sure Valkyrius is going to tell me I've got that one wrong again. But anyway, I think it's 78. This marks the largest number of stations, or systems even, defended since the start of the war. This is now starting to allow many of the AX, or is it AXE, groups to have a little bit of breathing room for pilots to rest and recover after so many months at the front. Hackswing has been hard at work with the MODE, or is it MODE, Alliance to ensure we're doing our part. Speaking of which, Hackswing, we've got invasions back on the menu. Your orders for this week or a large burger and fry. Will be to repel the invasions of Loveroju and the HIP 22052 systems near the Tyrannus Maelstrom. FTM Hacks Ops, or is that FTM HEXOPS? I don't know. Will be located in HIP or HIP. I'm confused. 24912 to provide support and somewhere to rest your vocal cords. Due to technical difficulties, FTM Hackscom will jump tomorrow to the same system. We'll see you on the front lines, truckers. For the mug!
Things are beginning to calm down a little more in Hutton Space. Four systems are on the naughty step this week, and apart from past events, the Master Control Situation Display Panel board is completely clear. More on those stories coming up. Not having moved more than a point in 3 weeks, Hilpar Sai, the first of three systems on 35, has become the bearer of this week's wooden spoon by simply letting lower systems leave it, well, standing. Wooden spoon holder from 3 weeks ago, Stein 2051, is also sitting still on 35. Both of these systems have a civil war in progress which is tying up a quarter of system influence, so leave it for a few days before you try to improve matters. New permanent resident of the Doldrums, LP525-39, completes the Pryle of systems on 35. As was the case for the two previous weeks, the system has a clear board with nothing of note going on, so feel free to go in there and boost Hutton's interests. Maintaining its point-a-week upward trend, the notoriously hard-to-move Epsilon Indy has managed to soar to the sobering heights of 36. No fewer than three infrastructure failures were cleared last week, so keep a lookout for the Golden Fleet carriers flown by those who made an outrageous profit. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have six systems on or above 60%. We expanded into Tabit, which is controlled by the EDF, so we're not staying. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, and the answer is yes indeedy you do, boost LP525-39.